The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
So this morning our goal is to share a message about the importance of connection with others in a creative and illustrative way. The song we played by Casting Crowns, which, by the way, an agent from Casting Crowns gave us personal permission to share that song, so that was pretty awesome. The song we played was to awaken our minds and hearts to the truth of the gospel and to destroy the complacency in our lives. The original temple was erected by King Solomon in Jerusalem, and the temple was the most important building built in all history of mankind. The Jewish people had a relationship with God that was very different from ours today. We can thank God that we live in the new covenant. Every day we can go straight to the throne of God. I was thinking about that during worship time and during prayer time, because we can go straight to that throne of God. The majority of the Jewish people of God would never encounter the presence of the God they believed in. They just had to believe in him and live and die. God spoke to David and told him he wanted to build a house, and David handed that over to his son Solomon and got the building built. God spoke to Solomon after he dedicated that temple. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 through 16, he said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." So God now attached his presence to a physical place. Now God's people could come to a place and encounter the Lord. The temple became a point of connection between heaven and earth. But eventually the temple was torn down, and then it was rebuilt and torn down again. So here we are, some 2,000 years later, the temple is gone, but this temple principle still remains. We have the New Testament, the New Covenant, and God now attaches his presence to another place. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." So we are the temples of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. God has a new place to dwell. You are the temple of the living God. It means you are the new covenant connection between heaven and earth, and you're called to reflect God on this world. Hebrews 8:6 says we live in a better covenant based on better promises. Today, there are millions of temples, and today, the temples have legs and can go anywhere.
So many of us wake up every day in fear. We're scared and we're so frightened to leave the box. We wake up in a box. We drive to work in a box. We eat lunch out of a box. We go home and live in a box. We spend our evenings watching a box or playing on a box. And then we die and are buried in a box. And we call it life. We are not supposed to live our life in a box. Potential unexpressed when you're in that box turns to pain. You see, you have potential. Your potential is who you are. And if you don't walk in that potential, you end up with pain in your life. We store things in boxes. Boxes do have a purpose. But as we talk about potential, I sat in there when those things were going on, and I didn't think about this until I was in there. Things were going on here, and you know, there's 75 people, and all this is going on, and I was right there, and I was totally useless. You couldn't see me. I couldn't see you. I was right in the middle of all this. I could have picked my nose or anything. And I was right in the middle of it, and you wouldn't have known. Maybe I did. But I had to release my potential. I had to get out of that box. But boxes do serve a purpose. You know, from a young age, we're taught to put things in boxes, right? We're taught to put things in the proper boxes. You know, the crayons go in this box, and the blocks go in this other box, and the toy dinosaurs go in this other box, and we put them away, and they're all nice and neat. Some of you have been to Bethel's supply room here behind the stage, and we have all these clear plastic boxes, and they're on racks. And it's so nice, and each box has different items in them. So if you've never been back there, you could walk in and find what you need. It's just nice and neat and organized. So boxes are useful, right? Boxes contain the chaos of our lives at times. They keep things neat. They keep things organized. And they make it easy to move something from place to place to place. But have we become so comfortable with putting everything inside boxes that we're not seeing opportunities? Have we become so comfortable with putting things inside boxes that we no longer see ideas, something different? Because we're stuck in this box. I couldn't see you and you couldn't see me. And so sometimes we get stuck and we need different eyes to see things. We're missing opportunities. We don't have a vision because we're stuck in this box. So we go back to the old covenant and we put God in that box. But wait a minute. We live in the new covenant, right? Jesus broke us out of the box. So why are us as believers, why do we keep trying to put ourselves back in that box of the old covenant? So are we limiting the way that God can work in the world? You know, think about the church and COVID. This house and many others said, hey, we got to do some things different now. We can't get together. So we were forced. We didn't do it on our own. We were forced to come out of the box and start trying different things and doing different things. And that's a good thing, right? So we were forced to try to look at it differently. They have groups that you can pay a lot of money to, and they'll come in your house of worship, and they'll sit down on a Sunday morning, and you won't know who they are, and they'll gauge everything about what's going on. They're a set of fresh eyes, and they can tell you, oh, try this, or do this, or did you realize you were doing that? It's like me. I have a crack across the windshield of my van, and I really noticed it for the first couple of weeks, and now it's all the way across, and now I don't even know it's there. I don't even see it anymore. But if you got and sat in the driver's seat of my van, you would say, your windshield's cracked, man. I don't even know it anymore. So are we putting God back in that box? Are we limiting? You know, Christy shared with you that there's a new temple, right? They destroyed the temple twice. There's a new one, right? Well, where's the new temple? It's not this. This is great. I'm thankful for it. This is great. This isn't the temple. It's you. Try to wrap yourself around that. It's you.
You cannot keep God in a box. How many of us have read a scripture more than once and said, man, I've read this 100 times and I've never saw this. I never realized it says that. Has anyone ever done that and said, wow, every time I read it, I get something different? It's because you can't keep God in a box. Everything is always brand new. He's always exploding. The scripture's not in a box. If it was, you would get the exact same thing every time you read it. But every time you read it, you get fresh revelation because the Word of God is not in a box. Matthew, we read this Wednesday night at Connect Group, Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 7 says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it over his head, which we're talking about Jesus. She poured it over his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial to her. So Jesus is saying, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be told about what this woman did as a memorial. What if she chose, she had an alabaster what? Box. She had ointment in the box. And she could have kept the ointment in the box. What if she chose to keep the ointment in the box? But she didn't. She did what she could with what she had, and she unleashed it. She opened up her box. We all have, but do we do what we can, or do we stay in the box? Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, I will share, this will be shared as a memorial to her. Because she opened the box. But people around us, believers around us, are stuck. And they're stuck in the box. And some are very comfortable, and some are scared to change. It was comfortable sitting right there, a lot more comfortable than this. Some people may think this is comfortable, but I don't. But people that are stuck in the box, they do not realize the opportunities and the miracles that are awaiting them outside of the box. They don't realize that very thing which they so desire is right there. That opportunity, that miracle, that healing, it can be right there. But they don't open up the box. Complacency has them right there and won't let them go. They're just stuck. I have a good friend, and for 20 years plus, he said, I'm going to the mission field. And maybe he will. But he's so stuck and scared and afraid and thinks the stars need to line up before it can happen. So his box never gets opened up. But then what are we supposed to do as believers? Well, we're not all called into the fivefold ministry, but as a believer, if you know Jesus, you are called, according to Matthew 28, down around verse 19, you are called to make disciples. So what do? You help people.
Thank you.
You help people get out of the box. It starts, don't you love that screen? Miss Tina did such a fantastic job. It starts with you. Ross knows Jesus, but he needed a little help getting out of the box. And that's what I'm doing up here, trying to help people get out of the box. You know, I'm not comfortable right now. The anxiety, the emotions, the struggles. If you know me, the sleeplessness I have that I go through to be able to stand up here right now, they're real to me. But I'm not going to stay in the box. And I'm glad that I have people in my life that help keep me out of the box. So who needs your help? Now, those of you that know me, you're probably wondering if there's anyone in these boxes, aren't you? I just thought, So don't run up here and help them because there's nobody there. You know, I remember several years back, I went up with Pastor. He has a rental property, and I went one day, and I don't even remember what we did, but we went there, and his tenants, I think we worked in the bathroom and had a leak, and his tenants raised snakes. They had the boa constrictor. What was it? You remember him, Pastor? And they had this, they had a big glass aquarium, and they had a boa constrictor in it, and I guess from what I read, like the record boa constrictor is 18 feet. But the average boa constrictor grows to be 13 feet in the wild. In captivity, a boa constrictor grows to about 6 feet. Well, see, in captivity, they're in cages or boxes. So they're larger in the wild because they grow in proportion to their environment. So a boa constrictor out in the wild has no limitations. But a boa in captivity is limited to the size of its cage, and it will never, ever reach its full potential. So what is your potential? Back to where we were from the start. What is your potential? What could happen in your life if you took God who dwells within you? You are the new temple, the new covenant, walking, talking. Did you love what Christy said? There's millions of temples now and they have legs. The temple can move. The temple was massive. It was huge, and God was right there in that place. And now look at all, there's 75, and you double that, there's 150 legs in here, and the temple can just go be anywhere. And where the temple was, God was in the temple. But this coming here on Sunday morning will not, think how to word it. Coming here on Sunday morning, you do not reach your potential between 10 and 12 on Sunday morning. But I do lots of things here on Sunday morning. Yeah, you sure do. But your potential will not be reached in this box on Sunday morning. Everything about Jesus' life, think about Jesus' life. Everything was just radical and out of the box, right? From the very beginning, before Jesus was born, the angel Gabriel goes to Mary and says, "Hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby." Now, most of us in here know how that works. And Mary said, "But I'm a virgin." Jesus wasn't even here yet, and he was not in that box. Because it wasn't the conventional way. It had to be a different way. She said, but how can I have a baby? Well, you're going to. Gabriel, the angel, said you're going to. Jesus' life was outside of the box from the company he kept to the theatrics he did. Think about the things, how Jesus did things. When the one blind person, and he got the dirt and made some mud, and he went up to their eyes and rubbed it. Well, why did Jesus didn't have to do that? He could have just stood there and said, no, he was theatrical. He did things different. He did things unique. He did things new. He did things fresh. So then, as we went through the book of Matthew in our Connect group, it's like we started looking at different healings and everything. Jesus, he did them all different. It was always something different. He crossed with the company he kept. He crossed social boundaries. He crossed over the way he acted with the love that he had. He was just totally out of the box. The message, the way he shared the gospel, the way Jesus shared the gospel was not the way the gospel was to be shared. And they wanted him dead because he was so much out of the box. He taught a completely new message. It's like, wait a minute. Pastor and I talked for a second this week, and you know, some of the things that I really thought 20 years ago aren't right about the gospel. Did you know that? I thought I knew. Do you know what? Some of the things that you've always thought or always believed or that you were taught is not right either. Whoa! But it's okay, because if we learn to live outside of the box, we can accept, wow, I believe that, but that's not right. I got this new fresh revelation, and I was a little bit mixed up there. But if we live in the box, it's like, no, by golly, that's what I believed for 20 years, and that's the way it is. Okay. Have fun in there. You got some miracles out here. You You got a whole bunch of opportunities out here, but that's okay. You stay in there. It's comfy. And then, what did they do? They put Jesus on a cross and they crucified him and they put him in a box. They put him in this big stone box and he said, forget that, man. And he didn't stay there, did he? They couldn't keep him in a box. What box do you need to destroy today? Do you understand you have a life of potential and opportunities and miracles awaiting you, but it's up to you. And it's... Okay. Think about what God created. We'll jump back to Genesis. Think about what God created. The earth. What shape is the earth? They used to think it was flat, you know. We were talking about that in Jesus' time when they were talking about taking the gospel to all the parts of the earth. You know, a lot of they thought it was flat. Think about that. They didn't know it was round. They probably thought it was flat. Huh? So the earth is round, right? Think about how organic everything is that Father God made. The earth is round. The ocean, the waves, water, the trees, nature, grass, hills, rocks, rivers, streams, lakes, snow, the mountains, the valleys, the clouds, animals, insects, humans. Are there any boxes there? None. Jesus made no boxes. Think about that. Everything had organic shapes. Now look around this room, and it's not wrong, but look around this room. We cannot think differently and start counting the boxes. Everything's a box. Well, the light bulbs are round. Which, yeah, God created light, so. This building. Watch out. This building doesn't carry the holiness, the atmosphere, and the glory of God. You do. You carry God's atmosphere with you everywhere you go. But our mind tells us if we could just get our friends to come to church, they would come to know Jesus. And that is good. But you have the atmosphere, the glory, the presence, and the power of God when you're talking to your friends with you. But we'll get him here and let Pastor Rob do it because that's what his job is. Way back to Matthew. What are you called to do? To make disciples. We think, well, I need a calling. I wanted this. And we have people like, I want to be a missionary. I'm going to save the world. And we don't even know our next door neighbor's name. And we want to do this and do this and do this. But no, but wait. You're already called to do something, and that's make disciples. Well, I got to find what Jesus wants me to do. I know there's something God wants me to do. There is. Make disciples. I've searched for 20 years, and I think maybe I figured it out. What is it? Is it make disciples? Jesus spent this massive portion of his ministry fighting against the box that people tried to put him in. Jesus connected. So we're talking about connect groups this morning, remember? That's what this morning's about, connections and connect groups. So Jesus started his ministry, and I say it all the time, and he went out and he connected personally with 12 guys. You know, and he formed his little tribe. And Jesus went out and he ministered and he taught to multitudes. He performed miracles. He performed healings to the masses. Like our Sunday mornings, right? We come and... But then Jesus would leave for some rest. And then he spent his time with the 12. He became intimate with the 12. He taught deeper the 12. So he ministered to the masses, but Jesus only spent time with a few. So you need a few. You need a few. You see, we need folks that will help us to live our life outside of the box. We need people that help us with that. It's like I heard someone talk about Periscope Christians. It's like they live on a submarine. So a submarine, they have this massive, you know, we've got a nuclear submarine, but unbelievers live on this submarine, and it's just a massive machine, but nobody can see it. Okay, and it's under the water, and then on Sunday morning, you know, the periscope pops up, bloop, and it looks around. It's like, oh, there's Bethel this morning. So, the periscope comes in. Oh, we're here at Bethel this morning, and then at noon, the periscope goes bloop, and it's back down underwater, and it's still a Christian submarine, but it's in that box, right? And it's like, well, you know, I feel good because I went to service Sunday, Otis. I went. I made it. I was there. So everything's cool, right? I made it. But your miracles and your opportunities, you won't always see them on Sunday morning. So you need a few people that will remind you you have a purpose. You need a few people that will remind you that you have potential. You need a few people that will laugh with you. And as they say, you need a few people that will cry with you. You need a few people that you can just really break down and be yourself with. And you know they won't judge you. They won't look at your shortcomings and give you a lecture. You know, how many of us do we get a little spiffier when we come in here? And I don't mean our clothes. Are we always exactly who we are when we're in the house of God? But wait, this is your house of God here, right? And you're worried about what Pastor Rob might see. You need those people who are okay with you and who are there for you. You need those people that you can send a text and you can just say, I have had the suckiest day ever. Folks, we have to stay out of the box. We need our own tribe. We need to make some connections, right? Look at this year. Let it awaken us. look at this year. And I'm going to read because I wrote a few things down and I've talked about some, but just look at this year and think about it. Don't lose this perspective. Look at this year. COVID, civil unrest, racial tensions, wildfires, financial crisis, hurricanes, political upheaval, food shortages. We had the largest one-day stock market drop in history. We have business closures. We've had nationwide lockdowns. The Olympics were canceled. Our president was impeached. We've had violent demonstrations. We've had riots. We've had protests. We have a few bee people in here. We've had the Asian giant hornets came into the U.S. and are killing our bees. Our president had COVID. Our Supreme Court justice died. We've had church closures throughout the entire country. We've had millions of people lose jobs. We just had a 7.5 earthquake. This is all in America. We have, except for the Olympics, we have a divided nation. We've had police persecution. Folks, just look around you. And you don't think you need some connections with people? Miss Tina, did you get that scripture in Isaiah? Here we go. All that's happened. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure, wisdom and knowledge. Wow. Seek wisdom and knowledge, folks. I believe, I hope this house is here for the rest of my lifetime. But it might not be. And I really believe that the survival of the church in America is going to be dependent on small groups of believers holding it all together, like what we did when we had to close down. We still held things together. We all didn't come and get together, but everybody worked at holding each other together. You know, our connect groups kept going on Zoom, and people reached out to people, and people checked on people, and we kept it together. There's a lot of houses that couldn't keep it together. And when they opened their doors back up, there was no one left to come back. You see the importance of those connections, of being out of the box and knowing some folks and knowing where they live and knowing their animals' names. And I thought it was awesome. We had that song this morning, and the group gave us permission to use it, and because there's a lot of legalities with that. And I didn't realize until I really watched the video through all the boxes. Did you see all the boxes, all the squares that were in the video too? How it went along with what we're talking about, and I really liked it because the song relates to us that we have to be the church. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through connections and relationships with people, right? Like this morning, sang Jim happy birthday and, have some cupcakes for him. That's being out of the box, knowing when Jim's birthday is. Wow, that's making connections, right? So I would like to see people in this house, whether you choose to come to an official connect group or you just make connections on your own and have your little group, have your friends and your people here. I just want to encourage you to do that. We're kicking off a new connect group. Next Thursday, I think it's the 5th at 6:30 here in the Family Life Room. We'd love for people to come. I'd love for some folks in the other Connect groups to commit a few weeks to come to that. 4 to 6 weeks to come to help others get started. You can still stay in your group. You know, we need facilitators. You know, right now it's myself and Christy Maxey, Pastor Rob, Miss Tammy. You know, we need Connect group facilitators. And you say, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a minister or anything. No, do you know how to talk to people? You know, we need some Connect group facilitators. We're getting ready to kick off here probably within the next month. We're going to have Connect group get-togethers where we're going to come in here and do some fun stuff on a Wednesday night. It's for Connect group members. And we'll do that once a month on a Wednesday, and we'll all get together, and people will get opportunities to share and to do things. And then we're forming special interest groups. And I've had people talking about this, but, and again, it's just a way to make connections. We're not teaching Bible or anything. I know we'll talk about Jesus, but we want to make special interest groups. For instance, we have some folks here at Bethel who like to shoot sidearms, and they get together and shoot guns. So it's kind of a special interest group, shoot guns. Or we have some guys that like to fish in the summer, so they have a fishing group. We had Miss Jane brought up, and we talked about it in her Connect group last week. She said, well, I'd like to teach ladies how to bake pies. And I said, well, Miss Jane, you can be on the list that you have a special interest group. If someone wants to learn how to bake a pie, you go see Miss Jane. There's just so many things a special interest group could be. We have some people that keep bees. Just any single thing you can think. Someone made a comment about house cleaning. We had someone already volunteer that she's going to have a special interest group here at Bethel about painting. She wants to get together with some people and paint. Also, then we had a musician say there, Pastor Otis, we had a musician say something about a music special interest group. And I said, yeah, you know, you can just get together anyone that likes to play music and have a special interest group and have jam sessions. So they could be absolutely anything. So if that's something that interests you, come see me. And it'll simply be your name will be on the list that... I'm going to do a homestead special interest group. So I'll be on the list that Eddie has a homestead special interest group, and then it's up to me. You know, I say, well, we get together once a month, or we get together two times a year, or we just get together in the summer. So you'll go see that person who says, hey, I have this group. And you're like, hey, I'd like to be in that and do something. When do you guys get together? Or when do you girls get together? And that's just a way for this house to get stronger, to make our relationships stronger, to make our connections stronger. It could be a book reading, special interest group. It could be anything. And then it's up to the person to run it however they want. You're just on your own. Go run this group how you want. We just steer people to see you. Amen. So there's a lot of fun stuff coming up around Connect groups. So I encourage everyone to talk about them, get involved in them. And if you don't, man, make some connections with folks in here. Get some depth in relationships with people in here. Because if not, all that happens is you come in here Sunday morning and you just come in here and you just spend this hour and a half in a box and then you just leave. And your opportunities and potentials and everything, just, you're missing out. And I don't want anyone here to miss out. There, everyone here, we have such good people here, and no one should miss out. You know what? Play that song softly, Dave. I think I'm going to do this. I wasn't going to. Before we have, Pastor has prayer time. Okay, can everybody hear me? Just play it softly, yeah. Can everybody hear me? Okay. If, don't be afraid. If you have ever been bullied in your life, stand up and face me. If you have ever faced a terrible disease and survive, stand up and face me. If you Praise God. Stay standing. Stay standing and face me. Don't sit down. Face me. But it's the wrong way. I know it is. We ain't in no boxes here. Praise God. I love that one. I just saw a big, tall JD stand up. It about brings me to tears. JD's a cancer survivor. It's just, that's so exciting. And there may be others, but I know he is. Just like, wow. So if you've ever faced a financial crisis that you didn't know what you were going to do, but you're here this morning, stand up and face me. If you've ever lost a job, not on purpose, stand up and face me. If you have ever survived the death of a close loved one and you're here this morning, stand up and face me. If you have ever been so scared and thought there is no way I can do that, but you are here this morning because you did it, stand up and face me. Woo! If you have ever made the decision to follow Jesus in light of what this world tells you to do, stand up and face me. Now, just look around. See, this is so uncomfortable. Some people can't even turn all the way around and face me because it's like we're going the wrong way. If you just look around at the overcomers in this room. And what's the Word of God tell us? How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You look, just look around. Do you realize what you've came through? Do you realize what you have survived to be here? When we say that it starts with you, look at what you've made it through and you're still here. So that should tell you right now that you're not going to keep yourself or put yourself in a box ever, ever, ever. Because you've came through it, you did it, you survived it. You are men and women of God. And you are the temple. Huh? See that? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Father God Himself, dwells on the inside of you. We need to wrap our little brains around that. So see, this house and you folks, I don't think anyone in here is ever going to live in a box. Not my church. I'll say that. Not my church. We don't live in a box.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.